If you're visiting with us today, we do want to welcome you to Lake Country Bible Church and invite you to look at the back of the seat in front of you, at the hymn slot there. You should see a plastic envelope that contains a little white slip of paper. A little white slip of paper that we'd appreciate you filling out just to give us some contact information for you. And at the end of the service, if you would, please drop that completed form off into the wicker basket just to the right of the glass double doors. Again, thank you for joining us in worship today.
Morning, Lake Country. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Couple of announcements, if you'll turn in your bulletin with me. Prayer meeting is, of course, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. back here in the back room. Wednesday night services are 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Choir rehearsal follows that at about 7 o'clock, depending on how long Ray may go with us. Women's Bible study is resuming in January, actually, January 3rd in the new year. They'll be starting the book of Joshua, and of course all women are invited and encouraged to be there and to bring a friend. Thank you everyone, especially for being involved yesterday for a great cleanup day. We had some inclement weather. It was cold. It was kind of dreary, but we had a very good showing yesterday. We got a lot done, and ladies did a great job of decorating the sanctuary for us for Christmas. So round of applause for everybody involved in that. Fellowship potluck luncheon is next Sunday. Bring your favorite dish and enjoy great food and fellowship. There's always, always, always extra food. If you forget to bring a dish, don't feel pressured that you can't be there because you didn't bring anything. Please come and join us. Fellowship with us and enjoy that, please. And probably take some home with you as well. Our annual meeting will be January 15th of 23. And join me in prayer, if you would. Lord, we come to you right now. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to freely come to this place and worship you as one congregation, as one fellowship. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our fellowship, the time that we have here together, and everybody that's involved in it, from our teachers, Terry and Mike, to our music ministry with Steve and Brenda and the choir. Lord, we thank you for each one of them and their efforts to bring this fellowship together in praise and worship and study of you and your word. Yes, Lord, that it would bring us closer to you, that we would strive to be more like you, that you would have an influence on our lives such as never has been seen before. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and travel this morning. And we ask your blessing over this time that we have this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Open up your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. In chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Pardon me. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was thirsty, and ye took me in. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee, a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he say unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
I'm out of breath after that. And I didn't sing. Better be glad. It's good to look out here and see all these smiling faces, even those faces that aren't smiling. Good morning, church. Boy, I tell you what. You know, the amazing thing about our church, everyone plays a part. And if one part is missing, we're not complete. And all of you that are here this morning are playing your part, and you're playing it very well. You're just an inspiration to me this morning, and I'm sure to others. Boy, what a day we had yesterday. I saw people I didn't even recognize. They had their own work clothes. But, boy, I tell you what, a lot of people were here, and that just thrilled my heart. You know, as I look around, I'm so thankful for those that we have here who take an active part in being here for work day and just being here, showing up, smile on your face, encouraging words. And I'm glad to hear, and I heard it by a grapevine because I couldn't get those two ladies on the back. Mike Walker had surgery this week, and it turned out well, good. And he's on the way of recovery. He's not doing real well. All right, play your part. Pray for Mike Walker and his strength and recovery and ease of pain during this time of recovery. Yes. He has COPD. Pray for his back and also his lungs. Okay? That must be agonizing cough with those kinds of problems. We do have that prayer request. I'll be praying for that in just a moment. But also we have a praise. We have a young lady back there in the back directing Terrell as to what his duties are. And it's good to have her back. She had double knee replacement all at one time. And I understand now that she's running around and giving Terrell all kinds of fits at home. At least that's what he referred, like to me. So if you don't want to feed him today at lunch, you can go buy a hamburger. But let's pray for Terrell and also for Mike. And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We're needy people. Father, we can rejoice over the confidence that we have that you're in control of all things. Father, that you love us with a perfect love. Father, we have all of the grace that we need in this life as we look to you for leadership and direction and encouragement and strength and healing. So, Father, we do come to you this morning, not intentionally leaving anybody out this day, because we're just not reminded of them. But, Father, we pray specifically today for Mike. We ask, Father, that you would undertake for him. We know, Father, that you created these bodies. We know, Father, because of sin, we grow old, we grow weak, because that's just the nature of humankind, mankind. Father, that's the reason we need a Savior. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, loving us that much, to send your only Son to come, to be a sin payment, bear that old payment for sin that, Father, we all owe. He paid it completely and in full. Father, you offer us free gift of eternal life. We would just trust Christ, his death on the cross, as full and complete payment for our sin. You give us eternal life. That eternal life we'll spend in heaven with you. Father, we'll be able to rejoice through the ages regarding your goodness. Father, your love for us. Father, we do pray for Mike. We do pray for continued healing for Lynn. We ask, Father, that you would strengthen her, encourage her. Father, be with Terrell as he cares for her, and also Lita. And Father, as they care for Mike, we pray, Father, that you would give them strength also. Father, remind us. Please remind us to pray for these ones within our fellowship. Father, we come this morning rejoicing in those that are here. We just thank you so much. Thank you for the good work day we had yesterday. Father, we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. I hate to admit this, but I snuck out early yesterday. The reason being, this has been a past week has been just a full week of activities. And I was not able to spend the time necessary to put today's lesson together before yesterday. So I snuck out of here. In case anybody's talking behind my back, I did it for a reason. We went and was able to finish up about 8:30 last night. So we appreciate your prayers. We're looking at the judgment of the nations this morning, lesson number 11 in our series of Come Lord Jesus, judgment of the nations. As we look at this, we find all of this became evident. As years ago, I put together a timeline. This timeline is definitely not in in a way that's probably easy to understand. It is not a straight timeline, because this timeline would probably go from that wall behind me to this wall over here. But we have been looking at, well, I tell you what, this stool needs a swiveling seat. All right? We've been looking from this point here on our timeline. During this period of time, from this point to this point, after following the rapture of the church, we have been in heaven. Christ comes back at the close of the tribulation period of 7 years, 3.5 years of false peace, 3.5 years of great tribulation here on this earth. Christ returns to earth, and we come with him. Now, last week we looked. There are three events the Battle of Armageddon, which we looked at last week. Today we'll be looking at the judgment of the nations. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking at purging of Israel. Those three are separated by space. Because I don't know which one comes before the other. But we do know they come at the end of the tribulation. And they, at the end of the tribulation and at the beginning of this millennial reign of Christ. So today we're going to be looking at this lesson of the purging, the judgment of the nations. We'll be looking at who's going to be judged, why they're judged, the outcome of the judgment. We brought and removed a segment of that timeline, which I showed you just a moment ago, as we are in the early stages of the millennial reign of Christ. Having looked at the Battle of Armageddon, which really marks the end of the tribulation period and the beginning of the millennium. Matthew chapter 25, as we read earlier, we'll read this again. 25, verses 31 through 46 of Matthew, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom for you, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a-hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of them, the least of these my brothers, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a-hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not, one of the least of these ye did it not to me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and 32, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. During this time of age of grace in which we live, salvation is offered to all, freely given to all who trust Christ and what he's done for them to get them to heaven. After the rapture of the church, the tribulation period begins. The only ones that go into the tribulation are unsaved people. They're the only ones left behind. But during the tribulation period, there shall be a group of Jewish young men who go throughout all of the world preaching the gospel. The same message that is there for us today. The same requirement as we have today. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the requirement for salvation is faith. It's not works. It's not good deeds. It's not being a member of a church. It's not contributing to the church. It's not being nice to the pastor. It's not being nice to your wife or your husband. The requirement for salvation is faith. Faith in what Christ has done for you and for me upon the cross. And so that is our opportunity during this age of grace in which we live. Whosoever will may come. During the tribulation period, the requirement for salvation will still be the same. Faith. Faith in what Christ has done for them. But the time during the tribulation period will be so rough, so tough on those who trust Christ as their Savior. Many will not survive physically to the end of the tribulation period. There are several things that we want to consider before going into the study of the judgment of the nation. First, the judgment is not the judgment of the great white throne. This judgment occurs before the millennium, while the great white throne judgment is held at the close of the millennium. Second, this judgment is not a judgment of entire nations. We mean by this that such countries as America, Germany, Russia will not be judged as a whole, and all people of these nations judged accordingly. The difficulty arises from the fact that there shall be some who are saved and some who are lost in every nation. Therefore, all people in a certain nation will not receive the same judgment. A better translation of the word nations gives a perfect light upon this subject. The word nation is better translated Gentiles. Hence, all Gentiles shall be judged here individually. Who are the judged? Well, we just got through reading. God will bring all people together before Him of all the nations, and He shall separate the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25, verse 33, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left hand. These Gentiles are those who've come out of the tribulation alive. Their salvation will have been determined before they stand before the judge, Christ Himself, at this judgment. This judgment is not to determine whether they're saved or not. They appear at this judgment sheep, those who are already saved. They were saved during the tribulation. Those are the sheep on the right hand. The sheep, these of course, are the saved Gentiles who've come out of the tribulation. We want to point out this fact. Their salvation will have been determined before they stand before the judge, Christ Himself. This judgment is not to determine whether they're saved or lost. They appear at the judgment seat, at the judgment as sheep, those who are already saved. They were saved during the tribulation. The sheep. The goats. What about the goats? These are the unsaved individuals who have refused Christ, have come out of the tribulation alive. In their case, too, their spiritual condition, whether they be saved or lost, is not determined at this judgment. They are goats. They have never been saved. They are lost forever and ever and ever. The judgment. What will the judgment be like? Matthew 25, verses 34 through 39 and 41 through 45. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. These pictures that I have are just to demonstrate. Wouldn't it be something we see Christ face to face at the rapture of the church? That'll be somewhat the same saying when those sheep stand before Christ and see Him face to face. For I was a hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger, thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Eternal punishment is their future. What's the basis of this judgment? What's the basis of this judgment? What are the Gentiles judged for? Remember, only Gentiles. In Matthew 25, 40 and 45, we read, And the king shall answer and say unto them, This is what they're going to be judged on. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto me, have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not, one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. That's the basis of the judgment. Inasmuch as you've done or not done it unto the brethren is the ground for this judgment. The Gentiles are either to be rewarded or punished depending upon their works. Now remember, they're not saved by their works. Those that are saved, those that are declared sheep, those come to Christ just as we come to Christ by faith in his death on the cross as payment for their sin. But the Gentiles, both saved and unsaved, are either going to be rewarded or punished depending upon their works. Who are their brethren? The next question that arises, who are the brethren? Sometimes men use these verses and apply them to crippled children, old people, and the unfortunate. These could not be the brethren. The brethren are the brethren, the fleshly brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jew. Remember, only Gentiles stand before Christ at this time. Remember, the tribulation has just ended, and the tribulation is known as Jacob's trouble. The Jews' tribulation. Antichrist will do all in his power to persecute and erase the Jews from off the face of the earth. The Jew will be a marked people, especially during this time, the tribulation. And those Gentiles who befriend the lowly Jew will be rewarded. Do we mean now that the Gentiles should be judged as to how they've treated all Jews? Or is there a special group of Jews which God has in mind? A special group is declared in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, they who are sanctified, are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. The brethren are saved Jews. Then what saved Jews does the Lord have in mind? I believe they are the 144,000 of Revelation 7 who shall be the preachers during the tribulation. They go throughout the face of the globe preaching the gospel. Someone will ask, will the Gentiles be saved or lost depending upon how they treated the Jews during the tribulation? If this were true, men would be saved by their works. For the basis of this judgment is, inasmuch as you have done or not done this to the brethren. To begin with, let's make it clear that no one has or ever will be saved by works. 8:9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then how will the Gentiles be saved during the tribulation? Same as we. Turning to Revelation 7, 9 through 15, we learn of the great number of Gentiles who come out of the tribulation alive. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 15, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And the angel stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. These are they who, being judged at the judgment of the nations, Gentiles, at the end of the tribulation. What does this portion of the Word tell us concerning their salvation? Verse 14 says, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, they are saved by their faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. I would like to point out another truth to you. Do you think that these Gentiles would minister unto the 144,000 Jews during the tribulation as they went out and attempted to evangelize the world if they didn't believe what they were preaching? Also, the Lord Jesus said, Matthew 10:40, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Save Gentiles of the tribulation who come out alive and who are standing before Christ at this judgment are those who received, cared for the 144,000 that God sent out across the face of the globe. By so doing, received the Lord Jesus, hence, inasmuch as you've done it unto me, one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. The justice of this judgment, justice will be meted out both to both the saved Gentiles and the lost Gentiles. All charges shall be made and verified, and the sentence shall be carried out. Kingdom for the righteous. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 and 46. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, the righteous into life eternal. The kingdom is not the church. The kingdom is that one-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. The saved Gentiles who came out of the tribulation shall be given a special place and privilege in the millennium. And of course, after the millennium is over, into everlasting life. Hell is for the unrighteous. Matthew 25, verse 41 and 46. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He shall go away into everlasting punishment. These lost Gentiles who come out of the tribulation alive shall be judged here before the millennium and sent to hell, the lake of fire. This is not the great white throne judgment, for that judgment is held at the close of the millennium. The judgment of the nations, or Gentiles, is at the beginning of the millennium. Someone might ask, will these who are sent to hell at the beginning of the millennium be let out of hell to stand before the great white throne and then be sent to hell again? No, it would be of no use to do that. They have their judgment here and will not be judged the second time. Those with the Antichrist and the false prophet shall suffer the agony of hell 1,000 years before the devil and the rest of the wicked dead. The devil and the wicked dead shall be judged at the great white throne, and from there sent to hell. In whatever age man lives, if he's not born again, he will go to hell. Hell is as real as life itself. Hell is real. The suffering, agonies of it are real. The eternity of it is real. Eternal life in heaven is real. And it's a gift to you when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is the end of this lesson, but it's not the end of the invitation that God gives those who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. I use an illustration to share the gospel because it does make it plain. Letting this hand represent you and I, and this wallet represents sin. God says all of us are sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. God's Word tells us that He loves us, but He hates our sin. The reason He hates our sin is because our sin keeps us from the presence of God, letting this hand represent Jesus Christ, God Himself. That sin separates us from Him. We can't work enough. We can't pay enough. We can't start over enough. We can't turn over enough new leaves. We can't be serious enough, honest enough, give enough to the church to ever get rid of that sin. God's Word says that there is a payment that gets rid of that sin, and it's a death payment. Because God loves you and I so much, He paid for that sin ourselves. Letting this hand represent Christ, He came voluntarily, took our sin upon Himself, paid for it, removes it as far as the east is from the west, and He gives us His righteousness to go to heaven on. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I would invite you to do that this morning. Nothing would bring more pleasure to God Himself, to Christ Himself, to those of us that are here. I'm not going to ask for anybody to come forward. I'm not going to ask for anybody to do anything. I'm not going to call you by name. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do is place your faith and trust in Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You know, if you're doing that this morning, God knows what you're doing. He knows whether you're sincere or not. God doesn't say that you have to understand all the things in the Bible. God just says that you have to trust Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. You see, I would account it a privilege to pray for you in the days and weeks to come if you're trusting Christ this morning. You've never done it before. After you trust Christ, Satan will try to come in and cause you to doubt your salvation, lose your joy and peace, and knowing that heaven's your home. And I'd count it a real privilege to pray for you in the days and weeks to come. It's the reason I ask, because God knows your mind, what you're thinking, and I can't see that. I'm going to ask you, if you're here this morning and you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven, would you raise your hand till I see it? I'm not going to call you by name or get with you afterwards. Anybody doing that? You've never done that before? Mike, pray for me the best way I know how. I'm trusting Christ. Fine. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You so much for grace. We thank You so much for Your love. We thank you so much for the payment Christ made for us on the cross. Father, we pray you'd be with each one here, and if there's those here that have not trusted Christ, we pray, Father, that in the future, near future, Father, they would trust you and what you've done for them to get them to heaven. Thank you so much for this day and this time together. We ask these things in Christ's name.
We observe an open communion, which means you do not have to be a member of this church to share with us in this memorial celebration of Christ's death and resurrection. However, we do suggest that you be a child of God, a born-again child. You find these passages in the Bible, in the Gospel specifically as well, where Christ tells us how we may become his child, one of his sheep. The one I like the best, of course, is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3. For Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. If you believe that, you can become a child of God. It's that simple. Or we're not saved by works, as Mike made plain this morning. We're saved by faith. If you have faith in what the Scripture says regarding Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, you are a child of God and are welcome to celebrate with us the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord by this memorial which God commanded us to keep. This morning I will be using as my text for this celebration, Matthew chapter 26, will the men who are going to help serve come forward and sit in front, please, on the front row? Matthew 26, starting in verse 17, the preparation for the Passover. Now, on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, unleavened bread is the feast. There were many feasts that the Jews observed. The Passover was during the period of the unleavened bread feast. Of course, the Passover celebrates God sending the Holy Spirit, or the angel of death, if you will, that would kill the firstborn of the Egyptians. And it passed over Egypt. There was blood from a lamb prepared at the Passover supper. The first one, by the way, in Egypt, that the angel of death left the Israelis, Hebrews, alone. The disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" Well, the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each one of them began to say, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man that he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many, for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." You may peel your top layer or the wafer that sits underneath. This is my body, broken for you. If you have peeled your cup, this is the blood of the new covenant. Drink ye all of it. After Steve leads us in a hymn, you may deposit your cups at the back to the left of the foyer as you leave the auditorium.